Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 to 35. I'm reading from the New International Version. Hebrews 11, 32 to 35. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. My emphasis this morning is 35a. Can we go back to it? Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Hallelujah. Yes, there were things in the Hall of Fame listed. There were kingdoms taking over. There were miracles believed for. But this morning, I came to tell you specifically as a woman, hallelujah, that by the power of God, if you believe it, if you push for it, if you are sure of it, the word says you can turn around any dead situation supernaturally. You can put life to it again. You can receive life from God to it again. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. This morning, I've come to tell you, you've got the power. You've got the power. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we speak this morning, breathe on us. Speak to our hearts. Strengthen us. Show yourself strong. Speak to us and enlighten us and lift us the way only you can. In the name of Jesus. I only stand here as your oracle. I only stand here as your representative. I step out of the way and we acknowledge your power. We acknowledge your wisdom. We acknowledge your insight. We receive your light and we receive your instruction in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I said earlier that you can supernaturally receive life to any dead situation. I don't know what you're up against this morning. I don't know what you're dealing with. It might not even be dead yet. It might just be overwhelming. It might be on the downward, you know, spiral turn, you know, right now going down. It might look as if it's spinning out of control. But I've come to tell you this morning, you've got this. You've got the power. Essentially, I came to focus on the power of faith. The power of faith this morning. The power of faith this morning. And you keep saying, Pastor D, what is happening? This faith thing, it looks as if it's being overflogged. This faith thing, it looks as if we're going on it again and again. The truth is, the Bible says without faith is impossible to please God. The Bible says we'll walk by faith and not by sight. In this kingdom, we live by faith. In this kingdom, we live by faith. What stands us out? What makes us different? It is our faith. We do not have faith in the systems of the world. Yes, we walk out the systems. Yes, we work out the structure, but we live by faith and not by sight. And if you take your time and you look at the hall of faith, if you look at Hebrews 11 from verse 1, it talked about different things. The father of faith, Noah, Abel, Rahab, different people, you will find out that side by side, men and women were placed together, getting different things, you know, from God, making tremendous power available, making a lot of difference. Hallelujah. So in this kingdom, we do not walk by sight. We do not walk by our senses. We do not walk by our feelings. We do not go by the facts of the word. We go by the truth of the word of God, and we walk by faith. I came to ask you this morning, are you playing lip service or are you truly walking by faith? Are you going by your feelings or you're truly standing on the word of God and walking by faith? And I pray in the next few minutes that I'm going to be able to speak to my sisters and break it down practically and bring out some things from my heart. I just want to speak to you heart to heart. I don't know if that is okay. And of course, the guys, I'm sure there's something in it for you because there is no male, there is no female. Yes, male and female, it created us, but these are principles of the word of God. But is it okay for me to just talk specifically to the women this morning? Again, I need to say Happy Mother's Day. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. Something good is coming your way. God is about to lift you. God is about to show himself strong in your life, in your home, in your business like never before. Again, I need you to say to yourself, I've got the power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said it's women. Hallelujah. We can turn dead things around supernaturally. And there's a case study I want to use this morning. The Shunammite woman. After Esther, this is my favorite character in the Bible. Amen. I study her again and again. I go to her again and again. And it's a long read. I won't be able to read her story out to you this morning. But it's taken from 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 7 to 37. Yes, 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 7 to 37. I'm going to take my time to paraphrase her story. And we'll begin to draw out, you know, different instances, different illustration from her. But I believe this was a woman that stood in faith. Yes, if you remember in Hebrews 11, it says, they all, you know, after listing all the great things that he did, he said they all did not obtain the promise. But I believe this was a woman that pressed into the supernatural like nobody had ever done in her time. Even though she was meant to be disadvantaged, even though she was in a season where women were not acknowledged, where women were relegated to the back, where women were not as considered. But I believe that she chose to press into the best of God for her. The best of God for her, maximizing the power of faith. I came to challenge a woman this morning. You can turn that situation around. Hallelujah. You can make the best out of the situation. You can be the best every day of your life. You can take whatever life throws at you and begin to build it up for the glory of God. You can be the best woman in your industry. You can be the best wife around. You can be the best mother around. No matter the disadvantage that you have to deal with, no matter what is up against you right now, no matter what the season is about right now, you've got the power to turn it. You've got the power to bring it back to life. We may receive back their dead, raised to life again. I'm saying that again and again because I need you. I need it to sink into your heart. I need you to sink into your spirit. I need you to catch the Holy Ghost fire right now and start speaking about your living room in the name of Jesus. I can turn this. I can turn this. I can make this the best in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Shunammite woman, if you look at her story, if you look at her life, I believe she walked in faith. Walked in faith. And he made her stand out. He made her stand out. We are taking the roll call of women that understood the power of faith. I think I want to call this woman number one. I stand to be corrected. It is my personal opinion. By my say, she's number one. Hallelujah. By her faith, she stood out as a generous woman. The Bible says that she was a well-to-do woman. Hallelujah. And I believe she was well-to-do not because of the man that she married, not because of where she came from, not because of whoever she was connected to, but because she understood what God was at placed on her inside and she chose to manifest it. She was overflowing with virtue. She was overflowing with strength. She was overflowing with abundance. She was so robust in her heart and she was so generous. She was overflowing and then she was given. And that was why she noticed Elisha and pressed for the fact that, come to our house. Let me entertain you. Hallelujah. She was discerning. That was another thing. She was able to acknowledge her husband didn't see it. People in Shunem might not have seen it, but she was like, I perceived that this is a distinguished man of God. This is the strong man of God. And because of her discernment, she brokered the best of relationships. Amen. She positioned herself for the future. That relationship will not happen there. Elisha would not have willingly come to her house, but she pushed for it. She reached out for it, for him, made him comfortable, made his servant comfortable. Hallelujah. And she did not only do that, she took initiative. She stepped out and she said, this man is a great man of God. Why not let's create a hot room for him so that every time he comes into town, she was strategic. She understood the trends and knew how Elisha came in and out of town. Elisha could have stayed somewhere else. God could have taken care of Elisha by himself. Hallelujah. If the Shunammite woman did not take responsibility and step out, hallelujah, and take initiative and get decisive, you know, God would have found a way to take care of Elisha before she decided to reach out. Elisha was being taken care of in a particular way. But she said, let's broker this relationship. Let's bring the presence of God into her life. She structured her faith. I came to challenge a woman this morning. Are you structuring your faith? Are you focused on your faith? Or are you distracted? She was strategic in as much as she saw it. She didn't just, she could do things. She could take care of herself. She was well-to-do. She was wise. She was intelligent. But she was strategic. She was submissive. Hallelujah. She had tact. She reached out to her husband and negotiated with him. This is what I have perceived of this man. And then she had good communication skills. Are you with me this morning? She had good leadership skills. She had great influence and spoke to him nicely, acknowledging his leadership in her home and saying, sir, you might not have perceived, I have perceived that this man is a great man of God and he's a need. It's not as if it's needful, but we can make a difference for the kingdom of God. What are you doing? What is your driving force? Are you mission-minded? Like Pastor Egon has asked us again and again. Are you passionate about the mission of God? Are you passionate about facilitating the ministry of God? About facilitating the agenda of God? Or do you get distracted? Hallelujah. Can I digress a bit? A lot of times what breaks my heart is the only time it looks as if God catches our attention is when there's something wrong. When there's something out of order, when the money is flowing, when your husband is loving, when the job is okay, when the boss loves you, there is just a way we just go with the works. And we are unconscious of our heritage. We are not mission-minded. We are not purpose-driven. We are not driven by the agenda of God. So we are not building daily in our faith. We are not maximizing, because the truth is like a momentum. You need to gather it. You begin to build. The power begins to, because your life is supernatural in nature. Before you know it, by the time any challenge comes, you don't know when you begin to bust out and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You begin to make the best of decision every day, because at every point in time your spirit is stronger. You're not giving to emotions, you're not giving to whims. You are led of the spirit. You do not gratify the desires of the flesh. When every other person is giving to envy and wailing and throwing up their hands and saying, I'm done for, you, because your spirit is saturated with the word of God, saturated with the will of God, saturated with the power of God, you come about with light, with strength, with insight. Hallelujah. Strategic. She had no sense of entitlement. She helped. She was overflowing with virtue. It was like, for every relationship I come into, I am here to give. Amen. Elisha said to her, what do you need? You have been so good to me. You have been so gracious. I've been overwhelmed by the love that you have shown me. She was like, no, I'm okay. I'm amongst my people. I'm doing fine. I'm maximizing my relationship. It's not as if our life was perfect, but what I have, I'm making the best use of. I'm okay, man of God. I'm not doing this because I want to get anything out of this. I'm not doing this because I'm calculating something. I'm not doing this because I want you to give something back to me, or because my faith is not transactional. It's not because I want God to do something for me. It's not because I have a list, to do list for God to take care of. It's not because I'm trying to just push for a pawn, you know, for the future and say, oh, maybe Elisha will do this. Maybe he will find a favor for me before the king. He even asked, is there a favor I can ask you from the king? She said, no, I'm fine. No sense of entitlement. If you want to be a blessing to me, if you want to make a difference in my life, fine. When it comes, I'm grateful for it, but I can do good by myself. I can do good by the power of God, by the strength of God. It's not because I'm depending on my strength or my intellect. It's because God is the fountain that flows into my life. And as he tells me, as he instructs me, I step out in obedience. I am only obeying my instruction. That is why I'm doing this. Ultimately, she was focused and tenacious. I have very little time this morning, so I can't go on and on. But there are two things I'm just going to tell you this morning. Two things. Two things. Somebody say two things. I'm beginning to wind down now. Two things. If there's nothing you leave with this morning, I need you to be focused on these two things. When you think of the Shunammite woman, if you cannot draw up out of her generosity, if you cannot think about her being decisive, her taking initiative, there are two things that when you focus on, you begin to find that these things will be offshoots in your life. These things will be natural in your life. Hallelujah. And what I'm going to ask you is, do you have a dream? What desire do you have? What do you want? What exactly? And can I coin it in a different way? Because if you have a dream, is it God-given? If you have a future, is it the plan of God for you? Is it the heart of God for you? Have you found it in the scriptures? Is that what God is saying concerning you? Is your life right now consistent with what the word says? Is there anything that is frustrating? Is there anything that is challenging? Is there anything that is overwhelming? Is there any target that you want to reach? Is there anything that you want to work out, that you want to reach for? I'm going to ask you again. What is your dream? What is your God-given task? I came to tell every woman this morning, own it. Own it. Own it. Choose to take responsibility. Choose to take responsibility for it. The woman observed that Elisha was a man of God. Observed that she could facilitate something for the kingdom of God. And she took responsibility and stepped out and took care of it. Amen. And when Elisha felt, I hold you, let's do something in return. She was like, you don't hold me. Nobody holds me. Nobody owes me. I came to tell you this morning as a woman, nobody holds you any favor. Nobody holds you to facilitate your increase. Hallelujah. You are a woman of faith. You are created by God. God is your sustainer. Yes, God will use people. God will facilitate relationships to lift you and strengthen you. God has given you friends. God has given you a spouse. God has given you that job. God has given you whatever you have at your disposal right now. But that is not your source. That is not what will sustain you. It is you making a connection to what God has planned for you, what God says concerning you, the dream that you have in your heart, and own it and say, this is what I want. And yet, Elisha's servant was able to tell Elisha after she left, this woman does not have a child. And her husband is old. That means it was an impossible situation. But she was still joyful. She was still generous. She was still tenacious. She was still giving her best. She didn't. Her need was not placed in front of her. She was not overwhelmed with emotions. She was maximizing what, you know, at that point, I might not have this. But this is what I have working for me. I own it. What can I do anything about? I am doing something about what I can do something about. What I can't do anything about, I let it be. What God can do anything about, I have trusted him, do this. In due time, it's going to manifest. In the meantime, while I'm waiting, I'm going to be faithful like he is faithful and keep doing the best I can do as things manifest. Hallelujah. As long as it's said in the word of God concerning you, stop looking to men. Hallelujah. Stop looking up to men for what only God can do for you. A lot of us have made men God unknowingly, made our jobs God unknowingly, especially married women. I'm sorry, there are a lot of times that you because of the expectations you have of your husband, and he's only a man. If he's a man, he would fail you from time to time. Ouch. But that is the truth. If he's a man, he is limited. If he's a man, he's not all-knowing. Hallelujah. So there are times, yes, you're going to have conversations with him and say, can we do this? Like that woman said. There are times where people are going to reach out and say, "We, Lily, can we help you?" Like Elisha chose to help the woman. But the woman said, "I have had my hope dashed again and again, and I've chosen to maximize what God has given to me. Man of God, don't raise my hopes. I don't have a child right now, but I'm doing fine. I don't have a job right now. I'm doing fine. I don't have a husband right now, but I'm doing fine. Why am I doing fine? It's not because I'm settling for less. It's not because I'm rationalizing. It's because I'm standing on the word of God and I've chosen to maximize the moment. Hallelujah. I might not be a millionaire right now, but the thousands that I have, I'm ready to maximize it. Hallelujah. I might not have a lot to work with right now, but what I have to work with, I'm going to take care of it so much that God is going to be so proud of me and is faithful. My reward is not from any man. I am helping my husband. I'm giving the best to my children. I am investing. I'm working hard, not because I'm expecting reward from anybody. It's because I hold my God-given task. I know the purpose that God has given me. I know what God has called me to be. I know what he has called me to do. I'm going to give it my very best. I'm owning it and I'm taking responsibility for it. If you help me, fine. If you align with me, fine. If you understand me, fine. If I try communicating to you and you get it, hallelujah, glory to God. If you don't get it, I take what you have to offer, I make the best use of it, and I leverage for other relationships. If that woman did not broke out the relationship she had with Elisha at a point where it got tight for her in life, her husband would not have been able to step in to give her the solution. The servants in the house could not have stepped in and given her the solution. Her money at that point would not have worked for her. Hallelujah. But she broke out the relationship, stepped out and owned it and gave the best to that relationship, yet expecting nothing in return. Expecting nothing in return because she had the perspective of God. She got the perspective of God and owned it like it's her own. I came to talk to you this morning about the power of faith. There is something about taking the word and the promises that God has given you. Hallelujah. There is something I always say. If God places, it's only if God does not place it in my hand. If God places something in my hand, I own it. Hallelujah. If God gives me any assignment, I own it. It might be my husband that says, do this for me. Hallelujah. The first thing I do is I check out with God. Am I supposed to be doing this? Once it resonates that this is what God will have me do in this season, I own it. I go to the place of prayer. I understand. I dissect. I nurture. I begin to incubate. Hallelujah. I invest in my children. Not because I'm expecting anything in return. I own it because God has called me to be a mother. Hallelujah. I invest in my relationships. I'm one of the best friends around. Not because I just want not to be lonely, or because I just want to connect to you because you're fine. Hallelujah. Or because you have money, or because you can open doors for me. It's because God has called me to add something to your life. Hallelujah. Own it. Own who you are. Hallelujah. Yes, you might not be from the background that you would have wanted. Yes, you might not have not had some things working, but what do you have? Own it. What do you have? Own it. Stop using today to send a message to your yesterday. Yesterday has gone. Something has not worked out right. Have you taken your time to own your mistakes? Own the challenges. Own where you failed. Quit playing the blaming game. Only if my husband. They said her husband was old. So at this point, it was a case of her husband, most likely, it was too old and he couldn't impregnate her. But that was not what she was focusing on. She was well-to-do. She had a good house. She had a good business. She had Elisha come to the house and she enjoyed the presence of God from time to time. But yet, without her asking, Elisha called and said, by this time next year, you're going to have a son. And she was like, man of God, leave that one. I have decided to leave to God what only he can do. If he chooses to do it. Do you understand? As in, at that point, you might have said she was no longer in faith. But the providence of God kicked in. I came to tell you that you are not called to be perfect. You are only called to step out in faith and try to be at your best. Then the mercy of God and the supernatural power of God will meet you halfway. And then You know, magnify your efforts. Expatiate whatever you're doing. Hallelujah. I need to run ahead this morning. I need to run ahead this morning. Own it. Own your promises and your instruction to God. Hallelujah. Whatever God has given to you, take responsibility for it. Own it. Do you have a scripture concerning that job? Do you have a word concerning that business? When it comes to your marriage, what is the word that you're standing on? What is the picture that God has given you? What are you working at? Own it. Take responsibility for it. Number two this morning, I came to tell you that after you own it, work it. Work it. Work it. Hallelujah. I love what James 2, 17 to 19 says. In the same way, NIV says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Oh God, help me to break this down. God, help me to break this down. And that is where a lot of times people are pointing fingers and saying, faith, faith, that's what they are saying. And a woman of faith, she prays too much. She reads the Bible too much. She, you understand? At times you begin to ask yourself, but God, I've been praying. God, I've been speaking. God, I've been waiting on you. What is happening? God is saying to you this morning, you've got the power. You have been waiting on me. I have been waiting on you as well. As you are waiting, remember what Pastor Shegun said, the place of fellowship is the place where we come to get light, not a dumping site. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. When I talk to my God, he encourages me. He gives me instruction. He tells me, he gives me the right perspective. He tells me it's okay. I might say, yes, this person hurt me. How I wish my husband can do this differently. How I wish my child can be on this particular, you know, level. How I wish I have so money right now. How I wish this is not happening in Nigeria right now. How I wish I can get this done right now. But God now says, okay, yes, it's not working this way. Can you work it this way? Can you do this? At times the instructions are simple enough for me to just do because it's just natural to me. At times, there are times God tells me to do some things. I can't even do it. I'm wondering, how am I going to do this? And I know that is what I'm supposed to. And I say, God, give me strength. If I need to read this book in the next 7 days, I'm going to get down to it. If I need to negotiate this deal for my family to move to the next level, I'm going to get down to it. If I need to cut down our spending budget in the house for the next 2 months, I'm going to get down to it. I learn to abase. I learn to abound. Hallelujah. If I need to stoop to maximize my relationship, I'm going to get down to it. Faith by itself, if it is not accomplished by action, it is dead. Woman, what are you doing with the word that God has given you? Hallelujah. What are you doing with this faith heritage that you have? You have so much power at your disposal. The power that brought dead back to life. The power that heals cancer. The power that makes tremendous, that makes wealth. Hallelujah. It is the Lord that makes rich and add no sorrow to it, and yet you are wondering what is happening. It is dry around me. It is frustrating around me. My relationships are not working. Work it. Work it. Make up your mind to work it. Verse 18 says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. That's what the word begins to say. I'm a working class woman. I'm a, you know, intelligent woman. I calculate, you know, my, you people can meet and be praying every time and be talking Christianese, but me, I've got this covered. I'm okay. I'm intelligent. I studied in Harvard. I have this working for me and everything. They say, should we say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds. Show me your faith without it, and I will show you faith by my deeds. What God is saying to you this morning is, it's time for you to begin to walk my word in such a way that from the decisions you take, from the initiative that you take, from how you have things together, from the way you step out, from the barriers that you break, the limitations that you break, the things that you step out. You know, there was a time where I felt, okay, when it comes to tech things, I am still not as savvy. But the truth is, I have learned to push. Why? It is my assignment. The assignment that God has given, the ministry that God has given me, I cannot maximize it if I don't hone it first. And then if I don't step out and begin to do things in such a way that it can be maximized. Children's ministry, for instance, I am not naturally I can't say a children's person. I'm not naturally a children minister. You know, when I see the instructors in Kids Zone, for instance, you know, teaching, I struggle. I'm like, they do a lot of work. did, but I have to sit down. At times, days on end, I have not slept. I am strategizing. I am planning. How can we maximize this resource? Amen. At this lockdown season, I've had to sit down because I have to become a production manager, manage human resources, manage, you know, as an adapt whatever we have on ground, whatever structure we have on ground, try to get people, try to cast vision, try to stoop. At that time, you need to stoop. That was what David did. David had to stoop for many years. He couldn't allow pride to get in. He couldn't allow himself to shoot down at Saul. Are you with me this morning? So when we talk about working it in different seasons, there are different things that he requires of you. There are times you need to submit to your husband and just say, okay, sir. Even if you don't understand. There are times where what is in your heart is, if I keep following this man, the way he's talking like this, we are done for. Where you will, first of all, in the place of prayer, say the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. You turn his wherever you will, Esther. Father, I thank you because this is my Joseph, and you visit him in his sleep, and you talk to him. You fast, you pray, you speak in the place of prayer. Some other women might be pushing into some things by their strength. You are pushing by grace and by supernatural power. Somebody say the power of faith. You've got the power. You speak, you pray. And then when the light comes, you have instruction. Why not have a negotiation with him? Why not strategize and speak with him? Then you call him. You look for the best time. You look for the, make the best of investment, and you sit down. Not looking to your husband. Yes, you love him. Yes, he is gifted. Yes, he is loving. Yes, he has this particular resource at his disposal. He can make it use of it in a particular way. But you are trusting God to walk through him. Do you understand me this morning? And you sit with him and you're like, honey, this is what I'm trying to say. And as he begins to shout and say, what? I told you no. You just say, okay. Holy Spirit will start saying, I bought mission. It's not working this morning. It's not working this morning. You go again. You go and gather yourself. You know, the Yoruba says that when a sheep, you know, pulls back, it goes to get strength. Again. Okay, maybe I didn't say it this time. Maybe it's this. I don't know if you understand. And you only, your boss is giving you a hell of a time. Have you sat down to try to research what is exactly I am doing wrongly? I might not be able to control what my boss is doing, but I can control my own response. I can control my own investments. And you begin to say, can I do this? My business right now, so no, it seems to be sharp. We are in this, well, some people say COVID-19 season. I call it the fruitful season. What adaptation do I need to make? How do I need to help my family thrive at this time? How do I ensure that everybody connected to me, do you understand, is at their best? For instance, I can stay in my house and pray and fast alone. Part of the instructions that God has given me and Pastor Shegun this time is lead prayers with Hill City members every day. Is it heartbreaking that some people don't come out for the prayers or don't join in the prayers? Some people are not as engaged in prayer. Some people might not be following the instructions. I might not be able to do anything about that. I can pray for them. I can intercede for them. I can cover them because I own the fact that I take responsibility as their pastor. But I'm not going to make decisions for them. But no matter what, whether I feel like it, whether I'm tired, whether it gets overwhelming, I come online every day to lead prayers. And I'm not leading prayers from a dry place. I ensure that my ears is inclined to God. I am listening for the instruction and the word of God. I am speaking from the heart of God to people. Do you understand? What is your own instruction? What is your own challenge right now? Own it and work it. If you need to stoop for it, stoop for it. If you need to strategize for it, strategize for it. If you need to negotiate for it, negotiate for it. Don't say I am done for. Don't say, Pastor D, I'm in a tight place. There is nothing I can do. I came to tell you that you can never be cornered. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God has in store for you. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. I need you to knock that door one more time. I need to ask one more time. I need to negotiate one more time. I need to step out one more time. It might not be easy for you physically to forgive, but by God's power, you can do all things. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Hallelujah. Show me your faith without deeds. I will show you my faith by my deeds. Hallelujah. I love, let me go back to that scripture. It says in verse 19, you believe that there is one God. Yes, you believe. I know you believe that there is God. But this is what the Bible says. That's good. But that is not enough. Even demons believe that and they shudder. Demons believe that there is God. It is not about our belief.
It is not about our trust in God. Faith is what? Trust in God. It is about what we do with that trust. Hallelujah. I love what Amplified says. James 2:17. It says, so also faith, if it does not have works, deeds, and actions of obedience to back it up. It's not that you're just doing things anyhow. It's because every step you're taking is an obedience to an instruction. And you say, Pastor D, seriously? Even if I wake up in the morning, yes, the job that you are working, who you plan to get married to, hallelujah, the business you choose to do, is it a God-giving tax or you are just out on a frolic of your own? Amen. But it is an action. Amen. And yes, we make mistakes. There are things you might have done in the past that are not according to the will of God or you didn't ascertain. But please make sure you can retrace your steps and say no more. It says, by itself is destitute of power. So also faith, if it does not have works, deeds and action of obedience to back it up by itself, it is destitute of power, inoperating, dead. Can you realize why in this dispensation people are asking what is happening to the people of faith? Why is it that miracles are not happening? Why is it that exploits are not overflowing? It is because we have made our faith destitute of power. I came to challenge you this morning. I came to encourage you this morning. Can you rise up and say, I'm not going to stay with the status quo. I'm not going to stay with what I can do for myself. I'm not going to stay with what men can do for me. I'm going to push into the place of the supernatural and begin to make things happen in the physical realm. The Bible says, whatever you bound on earth is bound in heaven. Hallelujah. Whatever you lose on earth is loose in heaven. Hallelujah. The Bible says, decree a thing that shall be established. I came to call women that are decreeing things in their generation, decreeing things in their family, decreeing things in your husband, decreeing things in your children. You might not give me anything in return, but as long as I'm going to keep working it, till I see the results that I want, not that I want, that God wants for me. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to give it all it takes till I see that result. I came to charge you to make up your mind. If you make up your mind, you are going to be shocked at what God is going to do to you. Keep confessing the word that God has given you. Rein your emotions in. Hallelujah. We are not women giving to emotions. Yes, we have emotions, but we maximize it. That woman had empathy. That woman was sensitive. That woman was discerning. That woman was intuitive. She reined it in and she maximized it. But the son that was given to her after how many years got sick. And her husband, the son was with her husband in the field. You will know she was a responsible woman. Because the man said, send the son to the woman. And the Bible says the son was on her laps till he gave up the ghost. How devastating can that be? When you watch life go out of your soul. Kaya baba. Hey! But she was not giving to emotions. She was like, okay, I own it. I have a dead child on my hand right now. But God, remember I did not ask you for this child. Remember I did not push for this child. And even though in that situation, in that dispensation, Jesus Christ had not yet come, she pushed. Amen. But she was strategic. She carried the child to the upper room, laid him. That was our point of reference of faith. Where is your point of reference? Where is your word? Where is your instruction? Where was your point of no return? What did God say to you concerning that marriage? What did God say to you concerning your future? What did God say to you concerning your health? Hallelujah. What is God saying concerning your spirit? What is God saying concerning your job? Concerning your career? Concerning your nation? She laid the boy on the bed of the man of God in that upper room, calling to remembrance all our seed, all our investment, knowing that this was not the picture that God gave me. This was not the promise that God gave me. This was not the life that God gave me. And then she sent a message to her husband and said, send me chariot. She needed speed. She needed to move. But she knew that her husband could not support her on this mission. So she asked for what her husband could give. And she took responsibility for the rest. And then she told the chariot man, step on this. Until I tell you to stop, don't stop. Keep going. That was not a woman. That did not look like a woman that just lost her child. She was meant to be wailing. She was meant to be disenchanted, overwhelmed, crying. But she was focused, she was tenacious, she was like, this does not look like what God has said concerning my home. This does not look like what God has said concerning my husband. This does not look like what God has said concerning my children. They might not be able to intercede for themselves, but I stand as an incubator in the name of Jesus. They might not be able to give the best on this deal right now on my job, but I begin to facilitate the presence of God in my environment, in my office, in the name of Jesus, in my industry, in the name of Jesus. I quit blaming people. I do what I can do, and then I trust God to do what he can do. I not only trust him, I create an environment for him to manifest in the name of Jesus, because I'm connected to a venture. I push things to the next level. Hallelujah. And then Elisha saw her coming, because her gift had already made room for her. Elisha said, this is the Shunammite woman. Let Gehazi go ahead. And when the guys, you know, the husband had asked at the beginning, I hope all is well. Why are you going to see the man of God? It's unusual for you to pray at this time. It's unusual for you to reach out at this time. It's unusual for you to do this at this time. She said, all is well. You can't help me right now. God is my source. God is my, I got this because I've got the power from God. Gehazi asked, all is well. How is your husband? All is well. How is your son? All is well. What is your confession? Is your confession consistent with your faith? That is part of working it. Hallelujah. She kept on confessing and she got to the man of God. Now this was her point of reference. And then she started, you know, articulating. I did not ask for this. I told you. I told you, I cannot afford to have a debt situation on my hand. I cannot afford to have something not working for me. God is doing something about this. Other people might not have received their debt to life before, but I'm receiving. And if you look at the Bible, there are 10 instances where people were raised from the dead, including Jesus. 10 instances, if you look at it. 3 of them, it was when women received their dead back to life. You know, I was, you know, discussing with Pastor Egun yesterday, and at one point we're discussing, and then he shared this with me, and he blessed me so immensely. Hallelujah. We're talking back and forth, and we could feel the Holy Ghost in the room. 3 of them were women receiving dead to the back. I remember now, but I'm going back to Hebrews 11, where he says, and women received their dead back to life by faith. Hallelujah. But if you look at the instances, one is this Shunammite woman. Another one is the widow of Zarephath. And the third one is the widow of Nain. The widow of Nain, it was when, you know, they were in the possession. And Jesus met them on the way. That was in the time of Jesus. The woman was crying. The woman had given up. The woman did not ask. She was not stepping out in faith. But Jesus moved by compassion, touched the body, and raised the child back to life. Hallelujah. The widow of Zarephath, it was with Elijah. Yes, she had taken the prophet in. The prophet asked before she took care of the prophet. And then when the child became sick and died, what did she do? She was telling Elijah, did you come to punish me? She did not step out and ask for it. I came to tell you, I stand to be corrected, that when Hebrews 11 was referring to women receiving their dead back, like, I think particularly we're talking about the Shunammite woman, because this woman was the one that asked and said, I want this child back. Come, call on your God. And Elisha said, okay, I'm busy right now. Can Gehazi go with you? Like, hey, Gehazi is not my point of reference. Gehazi is not my connection to God. Man, I'm sure in her heart she was thinking, man of God, if Jesus Christ had come already, I will lay hands on this boy and say, come back to life. But this is the dispensation that we are in right now. I respect hierarchy and I go according to protocol. So you are my point of contact. I have sown to this point. I have strategized to this point. I have pushed to this point. I have confessed to this point. This is the time where I need the supernatural power of God. What I cannot do for myself, what no man can do for me. It is not about you, man of God. It is about what God is about to do through you. Hallelujah. Gehazi went ahead, touched the boy. The boy did not come back to life. Elisha did not have any choice but to follow her. I came to tell you this morning, question every no you get. Every no you are dealing with, rather, question it. Process it. Process it. Amen. Investigate it. Ask questions. Adapt. Hallelujah. Work it out. And bring the power of God to bear. Proverbs 31, 16 to 17. It says about the virtuous woman, and 25, so I'm reading Amplified. She considers a field before she buys or accepts it. Expanding her business prudently. With her profit, she plants fruitful vines in her vineyard. She equips herself with strength, spiritual, mental, and physical fitness for her God-given task and makes her arm strong. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and her position is strong and secure. And she smiles at the future, knowing that she and her family are prepared. I came to tell you this morning, you've got the power. Are you going to maximize it? Are you going to build mental capacity, spiritual capacity, hallelujah, physical capacity for your God-given task? Are you going to make your hamstring pray when you need to pray, study when you need to study, receive supernatural life to every dead situation? I speak concerning the name of Jesus that you are maximizing God's power over your life in the name of Jesus. You stand out as a woman of faith. You stand out as a man of faith in the name of Jesus. As you press into God, as you follow your instructions, as you facilitate your relationships in the name of Jesus, you do the unthinkable in the name of Jesus. Things that have been considered impossible to men becomes possible to you. You go from glory to glory. You go from strength to strength. At every point in time, you're conscious of the power that you carry. You are a man of faith. You're a woman of faith. God's light is shed abroad in your heart like never before in the name of Jesus. You go from glory to glory, from accomplishment to accomplishment. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. It has not entered into heart or mind what God has in stock for you. Like the virtuous woman, as you consider things, as you hone it, you get it in the name of Jesus. Beyond your dreams, beyond things that are far reach, goals that are far reach, that seems far reaching. In the name of you, begin to accomplish them one after the other. Your best days is ahead of you. Your best life is ahead of you. You stand as an example. You stand as a role model. You are a strong woman in this generation. You are a virtuous woman in this generation. People, you know, have praise party because they are connected to you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus. But thank you, Jehovah. Because it's not of him that will it, nor of him that run it, but of God that shows mercy. And because your mercy, they are new every morning, we maximize it. And as we maximize it, we step into increase, we step into abundance, we step into your favor. I speak over every overwhelming situation right now. I say in the name of Jesus, as you step out in faith, that the power of God comes over you. The healing power of God in the name of Jesus. The instruction of God comes over you. The light of God, the help of God in the name of Jesus. It's time for you to push to another level of fruitfulness. Every dead situation is coming back to life. You have the strength of God. You have the tenacity of God. You are relentless. You do not take no for an answer. Every God-given task that you have in the name of Jesus, you excel at it. You do not only excel, you are the very best, and you stand as a point of reference in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jehovah. Hallowed be your name, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. And God's people say, amen.